Rules, Chapter 11, page 104. Sometimes people laugh when they like you, but sometimes they laugh to hurt you. On the ride home from the mall, Mom says, "I can't believe Nutmeg ate Jason's card." I laugh with her, stroking Nutmeg huddled against my stomach. She loves paper almost as much as carrots. I rub Nutmeg under her chin, right where she likes it best. She hates the rumbling of the car, and only my touch stops her from shaking. I peek into the bag at my feet. A paper cutter, white cardstock, and a tin of 48 colored pencils, 12 more than the set I have. "Thanks for the new colored pencils." "You're welcome," Mom says. "I've seen you making words for Jason, and you've been babysitting a lot lately." I can't wait to get home and see those colors on the page. Aquamarine, magenta, lime peel, peacock blue, and the others. I won't have to limit using my crimson and indigo pencils anymore. Now I have brand new long ones. "Wouldn't you like to sign up for an art class?" Mom says. "I'd hate to see you spend your whole summer doing nothing." I meet her gaze in the rearview mirror. "I'm doing things. Mrs. Duchesne tells me there's still time to register for yoga. Wouldn't that be fun? Or one of those bus trips? I'll think about it." Leaning my head against the side of the open car window, I pull in a long breath of warm, clam flats. The tide is out almost to the inner islands, and a lone man is digging clams. Far away, he looks like a doll bent over his rake, a bucket at his feet. Beside me, David is asleep, his head dropped over almost to his shoulder, as if trying to cover one ear. He gasps a tiny sound, wrinkling his nose, and I wonder if it's the clam flats he's smelling, or if he's dreaming. But I don't even know if David does dream. He's never told me. "David's asleep," I say. Mom glances in the rearview mirror, and her cheeks lift to smile. Stephanie must have tired him out. Almost home, I see Ryan playing basketball with Christy in her driveway. She waves, but that doesn't untie the knot in my stomach. David wakes, stretching his legs long as he can, still wearing his seatbelt. Christy sets down the basketball and comes toward my yard, Ryan following. "David," I say, "go inside with..." Too late. Seatbelt undone, he's already out of the car, running to meet Christy and Ryan. I'll take Nutmeg and your things," Mom says. "Send David in if you go next door." "But Mom, he doesn't have any friends, not like you have." She looks at me over her glasses. "Surely you can let David stay for a few minutes." I'm torn between all losing choices. David will scream if I make him go inside now. Mom will think. Mom will think I'm selfish if I beg her to take him with her. Then there's Ryan. I cross my arms and pick the one maybe choice. Maybe Ryan doesn't want to look bad in front of Christy any more than I do. "I'll be in my office," Mom says. Ryan leans against our fence and blows a bubble with his gum. "Gum?" David might not notice a lot of things, but gum is something he never misses. "Yeah, it's gum." Ryan pulls a piece from the pack in his hand and gives it to Christy. He throws another at me. My hand shoots up to catch the gum before I can even decide if I want it. "Can I have a turn?" David asks Ryan. "I've been waiting for you to come home," Christy unwraps her gum. "I went to OT with David. I dropped the gum in my shorts pocket. Then I had to stop at the mall." "Can I have a turn?" David asks again. "If someone is holding something you want, ask if you can have a turn. That's the rule." "What's OT?" Christy asks. I don't want to explain, but both Christy and Ryan are watching me. "Occupational therapy. David works on riding, jumping, stuff like that." Ryan turns to David. "You can't jump?" If we were at the bus stop, I'd already be yelling. But Christy's forehead is creased in concern. "Of course he can. Jump!" Ryan says. David jumps up and down. "Stop it," I tell him. Up and down, David jumps, staring at the pack of gum in Ryan's hand. Up and down. "Stop!" I grab David's arm, but he won't stop jumping. He lands hard on my foot as I'm reaching into my pocket, fumbling for my piece of gum. Ryan, give him some gum, Crispy says. It's a miracle! Ryan holds a piece of gum out to David. You're cured! But when David opens the wrapper, there's nothing inside. He headbutts his face into my shirt. It's gone! You jerk! I scream at Ryan so loud. David bursts into tears. Get out of my yard and take your stupid gum with you. It was just a joke. Ryan pulls another piece of gum from his pack, but David has his arms wrapped so tight around me he can't take it. He can have mine, I snap. We should go, Chris, Ryan says. I have to get home. I'm sorry, Catherine, Chrissy says, her face white. I'll call you, okay? Okay. I pull David up our porch steps and into our house, not stopping until the front door bangs closed behind me. Mom! Through the window, I watch Ryan gesturing like he's explaining something, probably telling Christy all the bad things I've ever said to him and leaving out all the reasons why. Christy nods, and that tiny yes bleeds the fight out of me. Gum? David asks. I steady the hair on the top of his head. How can... How can his outside look so normal and his inside be so broken? Like an apple, red, perfect on the outside, but mushy brown at the first bite. Can I have a turn? I pull the gum out of my pocket and put it on the perfect top of David's head. He takes it off his hair. I watch him unwrap it and stuff the gum in his mouth, dropping the wrapper on the floor. Trash goes in the garbage can, I say. That's the rule. I'm sorry, Frog. I turn away, but David's hand holding the wrapper comes into my view. I'm sorry, Frog, he says, panic edging his voice. David gets scared when people don't answer him, and his first tiny pinpricks pokes me, like guilty jabs whispering. He's doing the best he can, and I brace myself for the kaboom sure to follow. The full guilt avalanche thundering down the mountainside, sweeping away houses, knocking me flat. I take the wrapper. Okay, Toad. Catherine, Mom says. He needs to speak his own words, but he won't if you keep encouraging him to echo. Unfairness punches me in the stomach. You let him ruin everything, I say. It's always about him. He needs more from me. Stop overreacting. I run to my room, slamming my bedroom door so hard, Nutmeg and Cinnamon dart to the far corner of their cage. Grabbing my sketchbook, I flip to a blank page and write words, bearing down so hard the letters cut into the page. Unfair, cruel, hate, ruined, murky, tease, embarrassed. My hands tremble as I write. They shake so much it doesn't look like my handwriting. I try to rob the words of their weight by concentrating on the letters. Nice, sharp T. Round O. Torn. But I'm not fooling myself. I know the power these words hold. I drop my forehead on my arms. My door creaks, but my head is too heavy to lift. Go away, I say. A cassette comes into the dark space between my arm and face. I'm sorry, Frog, David says. I do what will send him away. Around and around and around, I spin the cassette on my finger. David leans against my arm. I wish it had been Christy without Ryan, I say. Everything would have been different. Or if Mom hadn't... You fixed it, David says. I look down. The tape is wound tight again. As it plays, I watch David's lips mouth the words. Every pause, every word, perfectly in time with Arnold Lobel's voice. His fingers flicker like blades of grass, shivered by the wind, fluttering their own silent dance. Who are you? I ask. I'm David, he says.